Sebastian Suave accept that challenge. For professional wrestling is my kingdom, and I am its king. When I break you, you will all open your eyes to see that the Suave way is the right way.
While I'm sitting on top of the world.
Well, I can't wait to explain why we picked that intro for today. I'm your host, as always. Welcome to another edition of As the Heel Turns. This is Big Al, Alexander K. Lee, with Dario Pop Passarelli, and the most handsome man in the professional wrestling podcast world. No. Not Connor Dorian.
He's
Connor, we miss you, but you are not here. Instead, we have a very special third man in the booth today, Smash Wrestling's own Sebastian Suave.
Woohoo!
Thank you, gentlemen. And I, too, am interested to get an answer as to why, too, you guys selected that very fine intro.
Oh, no. He turned the show around on us
already.
Yeah.
We're not the ones that are supposed to talk. Now you are.
Forgot how quick-witted these guys can be.
I know. Or the deflection there. Well, obviously, I mean, it was a great promo. Do you remember where it's from?
Absolutely not. But it seemed it was a nice balance of playing the new Overdogs. Well, not new Overdogs, but at least the song that I've been coming out to for the last years with a promo from a bit of my older days, pre-Overdogs, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. That is correct. It was. I thought it was a great promo. It was from C4 times when you were calling out Colt Cabana.
Yeah, so that's a while ago for sure. I'd say 4 years ago, maybe.
Wow,
not too long ago, but long enough in wrestling years.
So Sebastian is the first actual wrestler we've had on this show. There have been some close misses
close
earlier,
calls.
Like we were at shows where we wanted to record interviews and put on the show, and sometimes things just didn't work out. So finally, we got the man himself in the booth. We got one of Smash Wrestling's biggest stars in the booth.
Thank you.
We're gonna start off, Sebastian, just ask you a little about your independent experiences in general. You've worked for a number of promotions beyond just Smash Wrestling. So, you know, from what you've seen, what kind of stuff goes in putting these shows together, complications and problems? For example, the last show, a new venue in London.
Yeah.
How was that whole experience for you?
I think all of us at Smash Wrestling, be it the staff or the wrestlers, I don't want to go cheesy and say it's a big family, but a lot of the wrestlers buy into the company. It's the same thing as when you hear about in the world of sports when athletes buy into their team. So we're all looking at the big picture, and we're trying to do our part. So we have an idea of what it takes. You know, some of us wrestlers show up early. We do our share, and we're comfortable when we see a new venue. We adapt well. There's always one or two things that, you know, could use changes. Clearly, the new venue definitely had a much more unique and exciting presentation in the sense of production. There was a truss over there. There was a darker atmosphere. It was a very, I don't want to say excessively grungy, but it did have something a little more different than a gymnasium or a hockey rink. So it's something fun to play with for a live audience. But as a result, when you've adjusted all your lightings and your typical video editing to you set your lighting and everything to what you're used to producing for video editing, now you have to have a bit of a trial and error where you're like, all right, it's a little too dark. How do we work around that? You know, so for the most part, it was good. I think when the live atmosphere is improved, it transitions well on tape. So I am a big fan of having a venue like that, a little bit of a bar atmosphere, a little bit of a underground kind of look.
I was about to say, when I think of grungy, I think Country Bar 2. So it definitely fits in there. How long in advance did you scout out that place, or how did that come about?
I actually wrestled in that very bar about maybe 5-6 years ago, but it was just for a one-off show in London. And I don't know if all these sayings are true, but everyone in the wrestling world always says London has so much potential. Oh, if someone only did London right. London's been ripped off so many times. They've been screwed over by shady promoters, and not to bury anyone, but you know, this is all hearsay, but I remember the hardcore road trip had a negative experience on a few occasions. So those are examples that people bring up. So for whatever reason, it just seems that wrestling hasn't stuck in London. And when it has, it's either been a more so of a small fair show, which, you know, in its own is fun, but everyone's saying, you look at pro sports, or you look at in the music industry, you look at the, when someone comes to Canada, at least in the East Coast, you're looking at the Torontos, the Londons, the Ottawas, the North Bays, you know, Montreal if you're going out to Quebec. So these are towns that have potential. Again, maybe your Niagara Falls or your Windsor. So there are promotions in those particular towns, but nothing in London. And so I just recall a venue I was at, and London is somewhere we've been itching to expand to. Everyone knows Smash has expanded here and there. It's a very challenging process, but we were comfortable to make the move this year for London, and there was no other location that really came to mind. I felt this is, it had a good setup, and it has a nice balance of having that intimacy setup combined with production.
Yeah, I like to think the involvement of London Zone, Chris Hordeski, helped, you know, kind of add a different atmosphere to it. As you said, I'm a fan of Chris's. I enjoyed a lot of his MMA fights. Mm-hmm. And I could tell he was, I think, having a lot of fun with the whole experience, as far as I could see.
Oh, absolutely.
He got to get on the stick. He got to get a little physical. you know, so hopefully you guys get to follow up on that in the future. But did you have a lot of interaction with Chris yourself?
Yeah, before and after the show. He genuinely seemed appreciative to be there. And I think more so was just what you said. He seemed to have fun. And, like, being backstage, anyone who communicated with him or thanked him for his time, he just says, you know, he's like, I love this. He's like, anything I do to help you guys. So if anything, just to break it down beyond what opportunities it could present Smash Wrestling or Chris and his camp, it really was, he had a good time. And, you know, I think that's something that people could see in wrestling often. And, you know, when you see the wrestlers having fun, I think the fans have some fun too. You can see that passion or just that joy, and he was having a good time.
Perfect.
Yeah, most definitely. So we talk about setting things up. Now, you've got other, I mean, Smash Wrestling has a lot of other things going on. So right now, one of them is a side project called Infinity.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I didn't get a chance to go to the first show, unfortunately, and I wasn't, you know, exactly clear on all the details of what Infinity is. Pop and I are a couple of nerds, so we thought, is it like an alternate?
Really?
Maybe I'm speaking for myself.
Speak for yourself.
All right,
I'll
enough.
Join you on the nerd bandwagon.
I'm curious, is it like an alternate universe to Smash where the faces are the same, but they're, in, you know, being utilized in different ways.
Before I answer that question, I'll jump back to our topic of nerddom for like
please do.
Just for 30 seconds.
Oh, please.
Just
want to
let you
know,
I've had this conversation with Mike Rollins, but when we were younger, all of us, being a nerd wasn't cool. It was a derogatory term, and, you know, you didn't brag about it. But now when people throw out, hey, yeah, I'm a nerd, it's typically a girl in a tight Mario t-shirt, and, you know, it's the in thing, and with all the Marvel movies that are cool now. So
yes.
Just letting everyone know who just likes to throw the word nerd around a lot, you know, you guys are nerds in a good time where it's acceptable and it's cool. You know, when I liked my video games and I liked my comic books, you know, you had to hide that stuff or else people try to beat you up. Just throwing that out there.
Right. But just to follow up on that, you know, if you add your age with Alex's age, you know, combined, now you're getting the idea of how long I've been ridiculed as a kid.
You just moved on to math. That's not my strong suit.
I think it's fair to say we've all suffered our fair share of nerd abuse when we were younger. I mean, I guess we're glad the worm has turned. But yeah, where was all this when I was in, you know, seventh grade, and I had a crush on, you know, Christina, whatever. I won't name names in the show. And
ooh,
when being a nerd was cool. And anyway, this is a whole other hour.
Sir,
that we could
did
talk
you say
about.
Paige? Oh wait, that's.
I don't want to talk about Paige right now. We will talk about Paige later, but.
so sorry.
So
back
Infinity,
to the question.
Please, let's
talk
about Infinity. Where
Infinity,
did this go?
Yes.
So,
go ahead,
well, Infinity. I have a clear idea of what it is. It's not that I don't want to spoil things. It's going to evolve to what it's going to have to evolve into what it actually will be. I'll share with you what it is, but that won't transition to what you'll see on the first show or possibly the second show. It's going to get there. Essentially, to some degree, I mean, we're toying with it. A lot of the things I appreciate with wrestling is you can have a vision, you can have direction, but you don't have to stick with it to a T, because it's just like, at least I look at it when it comes to wrestling storylines or booking, the beauty of going from show to show is you can have a script, but because you have a live audience, because you have an online following that follows you, you have the time. It's not like a movie script or a TV script where you filmed everything. You can, you know, you can adjust. You can change direction. You can evolve. You can do something for the better. You can take a step back if you need to. So we're going to take the same approach of Infinity and from the get-go, because obviously, like, not to put it down, but people obviously don't see the same prestige in the roster, the elite guys. You don't see the Chris Heroes and the Gargano.
There's some
right
fresher
away.
Faces. I think
so
fresh,
you know,
sure.
Everyone's going to immediately, and I knew what was going to happen. People are like, oh, this is more like an NXT. This is more like a B show. And like, yes and no, but mostly no. There are some younger, I don't want to say younger guys, but less experienced guys who are doing very well right now and deserve a platform. And, you know, they haven't had that opportunity on Smash Wrestling. Not that they didn't deserve it. Smash Wrestling is very organized. There's like I said, there's always a vision ahead of time. It's always going to adjust. But these guys now have an opportunity to perform on a platform. But what I can share about Infinity is, first and foremost, it's very character driven. It's going to be very more family friendly. I've always been performing in Oshawa since I started out. And for whatever reason, right or wrong, it's a very family-oriented blue-collar community, and the fan base over there is very Oshawa, or at least Durham region centric. So you always have some people coming from Toronto, but you definitely don't have anyone coming from more East Coast, unless there's maybe one or two fans from the Kingston area. But it's very centric to locals who either don't drive far or take public transportation. You see a lot of families, so we want to cater to a more character-driven family. Smash Wrestling is always pride of being very edgy while being family-friendly. I don't think you'll ever see blood unless there's an accident. You'll see next to no swearing, unless someone goes off script and they'll get an earful about that. But that's where you see, for example, Danny Orlando, who's the fitness trainer. You'll see the fraternity who have the college boy characters. You'll see a lot of people. That's why you'll see someone like Mike Rollins possibly invested in that realm a little more than you'd see some other guys coming from Smash Wrestling for one-offs, just to mix it up a bit with the younger guys. But essentially, it's going to be character driven, and the second tier would be, it's going to be there'll be a little more promos and vignettes and filming. So there'll be when people get to see the stuff on Smash on Demand, there is more stories before and after the matches, and you don't want to go right away from the get-go and develop so much film and editing on someone's character before you at least get your feet wet a bit in the shallow end. So that's why it's not set. You know, you have one or two shows. You see what you got with some of these guys and girls. You see how the audience reacts, and you see how you're going about the editing and the presentation of Infinity. And I think by the third or fourth show, once you see them coming about in February and March, I'm not saying some of these younger guys aren't there, but you will definitely see the cards evolve into something bigger. You'll definitely have all those mainstays that the Maybach Betas, the Daniel Orlando's, the fraternity, Xandra Bale, who's not a rookie by any means, but no. To spoil a bit of her direction, I think it'll be fun to see is she, if anyone follows her, she always has a bunch of comic book themed attire, one being Aquaman, one being X-Men,
and
she has like a dozen. Yeah. So her character can be reading a comic book, and she's inspired by this character, and she wears that attire to the ring, and you can tell a story of a super fan. Usually the wrestler is the person you look up to, but she looks up to a wrestler reading the comic. She's a comic geek, and she goes into battle being inspired by that. So I don't always like to label things a particular way, but there is a bit of a different realm, you can say, but we take that step by step. If you kind of summarize everything I said, it's character driven. There's a more focus on family friendly. There's a lot more promos and vignettes. We optimize on these individuals' personalities, and I think that's where people will shine, because the challenge is, whether we want to admit or not, the reality is you go into a new town, You can't present the same budget that Smash Wrestling does in Toronto, which is an arm and a leg and another arm and a leg and one more, a third arm. You know, you got to start somewhere and slowly progress the budget per show. But also, same with new talent. You got to develop that relationship, that trust, and same with the audience. And I think by the third or fourth show, you'll see more stories, and I think you'll see a higher level of competition. People already see a couple of the Smash mainstays interacting with some of the Infinity roster, and I don't think anyone should be surprised that they won't see the Smash Brothers or Vanessa Craven or Tyson Dukes and the Pepper Barkses and Cherry Bombs start interacting with some of these athletes as well. And I think that will definitely evolve these wrestlers. But again, going back to the one point of saying it's being on Smash on demand with a budget like Smash Wrestling that's an arm and a leg, how these individuals will shine being on a quote-unquote, I don't want to make it a B show or a smaller platform, but it is a smaller platform, is with the more vignettes and all this character-driven stuff, they will get to stand out. You will see a great Chris Hero, Johnny Gargano match, but these other individuals, you get to see their promos and vignettes and their personalities and their characters of also, they have a way to stand out and catch your attention. And I think that's something that excites us for the Infinity Project.
I love the sound of that. You know, new and different is always exciting. You know, again, you know, a lot of companies put on a quality product, like you said. You can always, you guys have good wrestlers, you guys have great talent, and you could easily just sit in your laurels and just be satisfied with that. But I'm very excited to hear that you're looking for new formats and, you know, trying to draw in a different audience, maybe a related audience, but also, you know, just expand the audience. And I like that you're too, not moving too quickly, which is obviously tempting in this situation.
Absolutely. I mean, we go into different towns. On Smash on Demand, you can see our North Bay show. The competition was exciting. There was very athletic match, good quality wrestlers. But again, you know, in the main event, we know what audience we're working with. We're working with a family-friendly audience in town that hasn't been exposed to a lot of wrestling. So respectfully, if we want to just break it down to some terms like smart marks, there was maybe 8 smart marks in that venue, and there's a ton of families with kids or locals who are seeing the big show in town, so they don't exactly know, and I say this respectfully, who Chris Hero, Johnny Gargano is, but to people like us, they're the bee's knees, they're the best of the best, right? You will drive out of your way, you'll drive 3 hours to see these guys in high profile matches
if you know who they are.
Yeah, but you know, and it's not a knock, the wrestling community, everyone in the wrestling community in the niche markets and who at least follows the wrestling community on a regular knows who these guys are, but this is a different presentation going to North Bay, so we still bring our best with us, but you know, we mix it up a bit, and we definitely felt like North Bay was a good example and London was a good example, where we still brought, you know, the Johnny Garganos, we still brought the Tyson Dukeses and all that, you know, we still brought the Brent Bankses to North Bay and whatnot, and we provided an A show, but it's not typically the format you'd see in Toronto, and you can't take that format everywhere. Ideally, I love in the bigger cities like London, who has wrestling history, and I believe we can develop that niche market. I don't want to say the smart marks, but you know, the diehards, the passionate. It's just like music or sports, like, you know, the NFL or anything will promote to the general audience, the Super Bowls to anyone and everyone, but they have some apps online, they have some fan packs and TV packages and the fantasy leagues that cater more to the diehards. And you know, there are events that we will run that will cater to those diehards and say, hey, you guys will get this, you guys will appreciate the money and the time spent on this. But there's other towns that we go, we're like, you know what, it's not what we're taking away, we're giving what we believe is best for you. And after we run the event, if we feel that we were slightly wrong, we can adjust and ensure we're giving you what you want. And in towns like North Bay and Oshawa, for example, a space monkey is exactly what they want to see. Personally, I think a space monkey is something anyone wants to see anywhere in wrestling. but you know, there is a way of presenting things in different towns, and I don't think it's secret people see us expanding in different towns. It's just realistically, we have a plan. I think we're very educated with how we approach it, but we're not ignorant either. It's trial and error. You're gonna adjust in each different town, different audiences, different budgets, different teams. You know, do you have a strength in this town, or are you heavily promoting from out of the town or not? And I think the exciting thing is now that we've gone from just having one or two events out of town, or one or two projects, now you're seeing a lot. It's time consuming, but I think in about a year's time, we're truly going to see where Infinity and London and North Bend, all this really goes, and if we're going to make the strides we want to.
See, for me, I'm split here because with Infinity, because I'll have my youngest, JP, who would love something like that. And we have my oldest, Alex, who we don't talk about Alex.
He's a bit of a little barbarian. Is that fair to say?
There's not enough blood in wrestling. Like, that's his comedy. Yeah. He's 13 years old.
He might
not go for that one as much. But so that's where I'm split here.
But it's good. You know, he can go to a traditional Smash Wrestling show. And for JP, he'll enjoy hopefully more of the Infinity stuff. We'll see how that works. Yeah. Right?
We always try to never ignore a particular audience. It's a tough balance. I guarantee Ring of Honor, WWE, anyone else will not ignore any other. They have a primary audience, but WWE will always give something to their secondary and third markets. And same with something like Ring of Honor, same, you know, Infinity. We still want to have some, I mean, a good example, the first show is Psycho Mike is as great a character as they had come for me. And him and Kobe Durst had an outstanding match that a wrestling purist would like. And same token, you go to a Smash show in Toronto, what I believe that sometimes the overdogs may provide with the Kingdom or recently with Pepper Parks and Mike Rollins. The well-oiled machines. Those matches, I probably think, the diehard niche would appreciate that. Kids and families can appreciate that too. So we try to be considerate to, you know, make sure that even though you're not the primary market for coming to our shows, you're still having fun.
Well, a side question over here then, because it's one of the things that I've always found to be difficult. When you're comparing something like a WWE and even a casual watcher of the WWE, if they go to a show, they know the characters.
Yeah.
They haven't watched a show in a while. They still have an idea of who they are. Is it difficult from an independent scene when you're going into a new place? Because when you do a match, for example, you're not just doing the match, but you also have to tell them who you are as a character kind of thing. So do you have more fun with that, being an independent, or is it harder? Or
I think everyone has to do that every single match, no matter where they are. Let's say that the Smash Wrestling audience in Toronto, we're lucky that there's a very good following, and the majority have been here before. But there will always be some new fans. And there's some events where you go where 99% of the crowd is new fans. And for the WWE, they can be the biggest global wrestling phenomenon in history, and they will go into Madison Square Garden, and there may be some relatively new fans, whether it's through corporates or a father introducing their child to wrestling for the first time, and they're going to do it right at Madison Square Garden. There's always a new audience no matter where you go, and that's where I think you always have to have the foundations of who you are, whether it's your first time exposed to someone or your thousands times. That's why, quote unquote, there are signature moves, signature poses, your entrance, the way you speak, the way your facials, your body language. There are certain parts of you that will always define you to anyone. And I think that's your staple, that's your foundations. Whether it's you decide that's your moveset, whether you decide it's your mannerisms or promo, you always have to do something that defines you to anyone. And beyond that, yes, you know, if it's Smash, I'm like, and then for the majority of the audience, they know I do this, and this will be counteracted because they've seen it before. you know, it's fun. But I do understand what you mean. Sometimes you can, I don't want to say dumb it down, but you break it down so people can literally get, and it's not insulting, I think, because you go to a new audience in a different town, it takes longer to digest. It's like, let's say if I go into an industry with finances, or let's say just something different that I'm not accustomed to, I'm going to digest it a little slower than someone who's experienced in that field. So when we go to a new town, we're not insulting people or new audience. We just got to let them digest it a little slower, you know, than the diehard wrestling fan. And that's fun sometimes, because you know you're going to get the reaction, and see some, especially kids, to jump out of seats. It's fun.
Now, you talk about working a lot of new towns. You worked all kinds of towns, all kind of promotions, all kind of people. Because we want to talk about you now, Sebastian. Yeah. You're such a good company guy, and you're putting over people left and right now. Like, let's talk about you. Okay, so
no shame in putting myself over.
Oh, let's do it now.
That's what the overdogs do.
I was about to say.
There we go.
Name part of the name.
I am going to mention some names, obviously, like just people you've been. And this is just in Smash Wrestling. You wrestled the likes of Josh Alexander, Brian Kendrick, Paul London, Tyson Dukes, Gulak, Busick, Rich Swann, Chris Hero.
Name dropper.
I'm dropping names for him, and you know, just recently Johnny Gargano. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite guys to work with? You know, not just in Smash Wrestling, in any of the promotions you've worked for, and why?
I think generally it'd be someone you have a bond with, just because it's just weird in wrestling. But I'm sure people have heard this in interviews before. But the more you like someone, the harder you hit them. the more you're close to someone, the more you have more faith in them, and you're willing to push each other to those limits. And the chemistry is there. I think chemistry is a legitimate factor in any walk of life, in any business. It's there, and sometimes it's not a clear, tangible. It's just there. And
sorry to interrupt, but yeah. Sebastian Suave just gave me carte blanche to smack the crap out of you because I love you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So now I get to hit you hard.
All right. Well, this is going to end poorly. As soon as
you gentlemen can let me get my popcorn first. Yeah. And then we can get at it.
But, but
who
do you like to hit up?
We're
so
not going to charge admission.
I know you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by leaving them out, but come on, who do you hit the hardest then? Tell us.
The hardest
has
always been Josh Alexander. I learned to tone it down a bit, but when I started out, he's 1 year younger than me, but I always treated him like he was 1 year older than me because he started a year out before me. So he was my wrestling big brother. And so he very early on, he took me under his wing. And while there was a time that typically someone like myself would get mentored by someone who's a trainer or more experienced, for me, that was always Tyson Dukes. Josh was kind of like my peer who took me under his wing. So with him, he was always very physical, even before he developed his physical style. And then he was also trained eventually by Johnny Devine, which took that physical style of his and made it more physical. So for me, hitting back hard was a means of survival. And but we, you know, this was a little earlier on in my career, but we haven't had as many encounters towards the end of it. But the few we've had, I really enjoyed it. We never truly got to have that one big one. We had a lot of fun feuding with the transition to the Overdogs with me and Josh Alexander and me and John Greed. But that one was done very well in a sense that, we turned on him as he was legitimately leaving for Calgary. And there was no plan other than we'd smack talk him until we'd bring him back one day. And we did that for 6 months and or however long it was. And I just recall that Johnny Gargano had flight issues, and it was supposed to be Johnny Gargano and Matt Cross versus the new Overdogs. And within under 24 hours, we got Josh Alexander to be the surprise replacement. And so we had tag matches or handicap matches and stuff, but him and I, in that 1-year-long feud, only had one singles. And I was very fond of the match, but just to, it kind of puts over Smash Wrestling. I believe we were third on the card, but, you know, as big as that encounter finally was, you had Chris Hero and Matt Cross for the title. You had the Young Bucks versus Smash Brothers first time in Canada. You had Rich Swann as the surprise replacement for Jay Lethal versus Brent Banks. I forgot the other matches. I remember there was a big high profile women's match too. I believe it was the Kimber Bombs versus Craven and LeFisto. It's just so, you know.
Wow, what a lineup!
That's just the start. There was other big matches, but the idea is, you know, we didn't get our big main event or longer match, but he was one of the guys that I always enjoyed getting in the ring with. The other two would be Tyson Dukes and Brent Banks. Again, people I'm close with. Brent and I started training together. We had our first match together. We've traveled together. So those are people you have the bonds, one being a mentor, one being the guy who helped you out from the get-go as a brother, and then the other one's the guy you started out with. So it always goes back to those three, but I've developed bonds and relationships with other people and matches that I've been very proud of. And I think I'm at the stage now that I'm going to be enjoying the encounters of people who are a bit younger and newer than me and now play the role of their veteran.
I thought you and Gargano really went at it at the last show.
I was very proud of that.
I don't know if that's the first time you've worked with him.
Absolutely. First time in any capacity, yeah.
I thought you guys had a great natural chemistry. We talk on the show a lot. Obviously, as fans, you know, we talk about and we like to analyze matches from our side of it. But I am a firm believer. Obviously, you don't know how good someone is unless you've actually wrestled with them. So, you know, can you talk a little bit about that experience wrestling Johnny?
Johnny's incredible, and I straight up told him, I'm like, listen, I mostly do this tag thing nowadays, so I don't get that many singles opportunities. And when I do, as a result of being known as a tag guy now, they're not as profiled as the singles title main event or something. So, you know, I feel that fortunately when I have gotten those opportunities, especially Smash, I've proven, you know, my bouts with Josh and Tyson, the one with Tyson I was very proud of, a challenge accepted, the one with Rich Swann, the Gargano one, there was even one at the first gold event with Brent Banks that wasn't the focus of the tournament that I believe stole the show a bit. These are the kind of matches that I think at least give some credibility to me as a singles wrestler. And the match with Johnny, like I said, I was extremely proud of, but at the same time, I straight up looked at him and said, I don't know if I don't get these singles opportunities as much, but I don't know about you, but that for me was really special, and I really enjoyed it, so I thanked him. But I'm like, I don't know, for you, that was just another day at the office because you're that good, you know? For him, it might have just been another good match, but I think it may be just another match for him, but it's because as a result of guys like him don't know how to do anything less than 120%. So I think he just makes things look so effortless, and I think that's one of the redeeming qualities of a great wrestler, at least from my perspective as someone from within.
Yeah, and I think that London crowd really got a treat. It's funny, though. I'll say, you know, because, like I said, oh, we're fans. We think, you know, all we do is read the internet and we think we know everything. I was not aware.
I do know everything.
You do know everything. Not because of the internet. You're just...
I also know everything.
Yeah. So I thought, because, you know, Johnny's obviously having a lot of success in his career right now. We all know he's wrestling for NXT.
Yeah,
doing very well.
We got swerved, didn't we?
I thought, oh, he's with NXT now. This is going to be Suave's big moment. We're going to see Suave, you know, kick this guy's butt, send him pack. You know what? We don't need Johnny Gargano. Kick his butt out of here. And Johnny, again, wrestled a hell of a match
and
held onto the belt.
It wasn't the whole idea about, like, inviting Sebastian over here onto our podcast was because we thought he was going to be
That's right. You know, we have to confess. Yeah.
I was a little disappointed.
We said we were going to book whoever the Smash Wrestling Champion was, and I said, it's going to be Suave. Don't worry about a pop.
You know, I was very proud of that, I went into the match thinking maybe a lot of people would think it's predictable that Johnny Gargano would retain as he's for the fact that Sebastian Suave is probably known as a tag team wrestler. But leaving the event, a lot of members of the staff, a lot of members of the audience, and then our staff mentioned through other fans they talked to, a lot of people thought that two or three occasions that I was going to pull the victory and. Yeah. They were convinced. So as a performer, you're very proud that you go into a scenario where you think people might not bite, and you had a lot of people biting.
Yeah,
to diminish your skills at all. You know, you're going to be like one of those temporary holders, you know, to hold it for somebody else, kind of thing. Just saying.
What are we trying to say here, Pop?
No, we thought it was logical because, yeah, you've been with...
You know, maybe Alex should hold the popcorn and you and I are going to be swinging.
I'm under the table right now. I give.
Because you've been with the company since day one. So
yes.
Thought, what a great story it'll be. He's going to send this guy packing. And you guys had a heck of a match. And he caught you in a great submission hold at the end. And we're like, you know what? He's got to tap to this. I mean... He's not getting out of that move. So
you know, if I'm going to go down swinging and lose, well, everyone else can go down to, you know, his Gargano escape submission. I go down with that plus a leg, you know, a leg lock.
Yeah,
you know,
put some sauce on it.
So yeah, exactly. I got the finisher with the sauce. It's like instead of getting the rock bottom, I got it off the second row, right?
Exactly.
So you know,
no, you didn't.
I got
easy.
That extra sauce.
Boy, you didn't go down easy.
No, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I know Smash Wrestling enjoyed it, and it was evident that, fortunately, the fans enjoyed it a lot. So that's all you can ask for, I think, in any scenario, essentially, in professional wrestling or even, I guess, in music or pro sports. If the audience enjoys it, the athletes enjoy it, and the company enjoys it, it's a win-win-win.
Now, what about Dream Opponent? Who, if you could wrestle anybody in the world, let's say right now, let's go living. Obviously, this, you know, because when people ask this question, they usually say either, you know, whatever. Let's say a living active wrestler now. And we'll move on to the next one after. But
you know, it's not that I don't want to answer it. It's I used to always think of that and know the answers off the top of my head. In the past 3-4 years, those thoughts haven't come across my head. Like being a younger wrestler, you always, I guess, the guys I looked up to were always in transition from Roddy Piper to Shawn Michaels to Chris Jericho to a Kurt Angle and stuff like that. So, you know, a Kurt Angle or Jericho as a kid is like, that's the guy who I looked up to that you dream match. I'll always say Tyson Dukes right off the top of my head, although I've only had that match twice now. once when I was very young because I got poorly treated by one promoter, and after the event I threw a fit in front of everyone. Not a like a child's fit, but I was basically treated. I don't care telling the story because see, you guys started something.
Please do if you want to.
Essentially, like this promotion's not around anymore, so it's fine. But I won't name names. But essentially, okay. I was hired for this promotion, and Brent Banks, I convinced that he for them to hire him as well. And so I said, hey Brent, you know we should go. It's a month prior. They have another show. We're not on it. We should be professional. We should show our respects, go a show prior, go help set up, introduce ourselves, just show that we are looking forward to being part of your team and that we just want to show our respects. And you know, something
paying your
respectful
dues to a certain degree.
Yeah, but like, you know, like I know for a fact that when people got hired like that, no one would go to the prior show. People would go to the prior show in hopes to get hired, but when people were hired, they're like, oh, well, I don't need to go to the previous show. But we were going to do that anyways. And when we went there and helped out, the second guy in charge essentially told us to pay at the doors and get out because they're about to, you know, let people in eventually. And I was so offended that, you know, I know for a fact that anyone who's, it's not me trying to get a free show, but anyone who's a wrestler doesn't pay, especially someone who's part of your roster. And I'm here to, so me and Brent Banks went to sit at a Tim Hortons thinking, all right, as much as I want to just yell at someone, let's just wait till the show's over. And the whole time we're sitting there, Brent's very soft-spoken, he's more reserved. And the whole time he's like, this isn't right. And my tone of voice starts like, this isn't right. And then eventually goes, this isn't right. And then eventually I'm like, this isn't goddamn right. I'm like losing my mind. So by the time I went back, the show ended, I pushed people aside, found the boss, I gave him peace of my mind, and he was so apologetic. And then their way of making it up to me, which I didn't ask them to, but they gave me Tyson Dukes the next show. So a lesson for all you young kids, if someone mistreats you, just give him a piece of your mind until you get your match with Tyson Dukes. But, you know, that one, I've only faced him twice, and the other time was just recently for Challenge Accepted. And that was like the first time as a grown, mature wrestler, him and I had a match. The first one was exceptional too, but again, I felt like that match was on par with the Josh Alexander match in the sense that Challenge Accepted had an ambulance match. It had the Young Bucks again. It had Alex Shelley get that title over Matt Cross. It had all these. It was a who's who of Smash Wrestling show. It was one of those big ones. And yet you have Tyson Dukes and Sebastian Suave. I don't want to say steal the show, but like a lot of people gave us a rub that night as one of those exceptional matches. So, you know, a match with him, I think, on any platform at any time is something that I would dream for. And beyond that, on the indies, the only other one I can think of is Chris Hero, because we faced once outside of Smash, which was my introduction to him, and it was a very, very good match. But I think it was the first time that I'd say, because I was overly cautious of facing a veteran and not trying to step on toes, I went into it with 90 or 95% and still busted my butt. But like, not to break the fourth wall, but you know, I'm making sure it's his match and I'm not voicing as much, being a good young guy. But I've learned over time that when you have your opportunities, you got to be vocal, you got to step up, and you got to, worst case, someone says no to you, but like Chris is the kind of guy who does want to tear the house down with you. So there's a part of me that always wants that match again, just to, you know, everyone loved the match we did have. No one knows the story other than me, but you know, for me, it's like it's unfinished business. You know, I know it could have been more.
I was gonna say, actually, the worst thing that can happen in your business is that he just beats the crap out of you. Because you know, I wouldn't describe Chris as a finesse wrestler. I mean, he just goes in there and just lays into guys with those forearms. I mean, as a fan, you know, we've been in the front row several times. He's a good guy. He'll give you the forearm bump. Yeah. And just that for me as a fan, like, ah. I've never taken one to the face or chest, as I'm sure you have. And so Chris, I think you were good to be polite.
The best way to describe Chris would be intensity.
Yes.
Maybe not outside the ring, but when that bell rings, it's intensity from bell to bell.
And see, I just learned something there, not about Chris, but about Brent Banks, who's obviously one of our favorites. And a little secret here, Alex tries to get under.
Whoa.
Sorry,
hold on.
Now, this mystery fan.
Hold on.
This
it's weird. Every time Brent Banks shows up, there's like someone shouts, "You suck," at him, which is
all the time. This
unfair.
Mystery fan tries to get under Brent's skin.
And he's always in my area. He's always in my area. And then Brent looks at me, and I'm like, I think it was your kid last time.
May have been in London. Yeah, it definitely
your
was.
Your kid's a bit rude.
Well, I'll side with the fans for Brent Banks sucking, because he's always late for carpool. So until he's punctual, he does suck.
This is on video. Okay, this is, you know, Brent, we're going to make sure that Brent hears this. Brent is my friend. I never say anything bad about him.
Right, it's just that
you can tag Brent right away.
Brent will be
you
tagged.
Can invite him on the show. Let's say we're not talking wrestling. We're going to talk about your punctuality.
Yeah, he's going to have to defend himself. He has to get a chance to defend himself because I'm sure the honorable and respectable Brent Banks has a very good reason why he has such poor carpool habits.
None whatsoever.
One slight problem, though, logistically.
He gets heads up.
This is a small room. Late. This is a small room, and I don't know if that mystery fan is going to be able to hide themselves here. Just a fair warning.
We'll talk to him.
All right, so mystery fan.
Yes, a mystery fan. Again, Brent Van obviously does not suck. He's an incredible talent, and whoever keeps saying that he sucks is just, and that's
well,
not right.
To defend the other side, despite the fact there are some people that shout at Brent Banks that you suck, you can't deny, despite his attitude and swagger, that every show there is a fair capacity of the crowd that will keep chanting Brent Banks. Brent
yes,
Banks.
They
Banks
love
every show.
We rode a bus
Banks
with
is money.
We were actually on the bus with
he
those
can,
gentlemen.
He can get in your face and tell you to sit down and tell you that you're worthless. And there are some people that just love the combination of his personality, his versatility of style, and what he brings to the table, and that awesome customized theme song of his that I also enjoy listening to. You know, and he does, I would definitely say he's one of those guys that has a following, especially at Smash Wrestling. And that's what I enjoy about seeing Brent wrestle at Smash Wrestling. He definitely has a strong response and a respectable position in other towns. There's something unique about seeing him in Smash Bros. And there's a part of that audience that are diehard Brent Banks fans at Smash Wrestling, and as a result, whatever that thing is that he's created there, it makes his matches at Smash Wrestling a little more special each time.
Well, this thing, I'm fairly new to Smash Wrestling. The first time I went to an independent show was actually in January or February of last year, of this year, I should say. So I've only been around a year. But one thing that always stood out to me about Brent is he makes the people in the ring with him look good. Doesn't matter who's in the ring with him, he can make them look good. And that's a phenomenal talent. Such a great worker.
Yeah, one of our favorite matches was the four-way with Facade and was it Kevin Bennett, I think, and his name escaping me now. This is at the charity
Jason
show.
Jason Kincaid.
Kincaid, thank you. And obviously, you know, to the Smash Wrestling crowd, Brent's the biggest name there. And by the end of that match, the other three guys, who I personally wasn't very familiar with, shined so brightly. And I mean, he ended up getting the win in that match. But the other three guys, in my eyes, were elevated. Maybe not to Brent's level, but I just thought that all four guys looked good. And that's not always, I don't imagine that's an easy thing to do in your business, to make everyone in a fatal four-way.
No, I think, you know, going into the match, like, we knew what the potential was, but we also knew that because, you know, not to sound too business-ish, but you go into show, you got to have selling points. You got to have, quote-unquote, draws. And those are exceptional wrestlers, and they may have more of a selling point or draw factor in other territories. But at least the Smash Wrestling on the Eastern Ontario audience, they were fairly new faces. And so it didn't help draw for the show, but we knew coming to show would add to the show. So bookings like that have helped Smash Wrestling in the sense that it's helped develop a reputation. So when you see a new face come to Smash Wrestling, fans now trust the company. Fans now, it piques their curiosity because they go back to other people that have come through Smash Wrestling. I mean, I think at least there's a small portion of the audiences who should know who Frankie the Mobster is. He's been around from the Quebec scene for a while, but he hasn't been in the Ontario scene for a while. And when Smash Wrestling brought him in, I knew he was going to shine as a standout, and the personality he has is exceptional. And when him and Dalton Castle had a match, that was one of the standout conversations of a lot of fans. So that four-way was a lot like that too. And definitely all those guys shined. And I think the atmosphere and environment of that match was got double the reaction it should have. Not that they didn't deserve, these guys had an exceptional match, but it's because I think people didn't expect what they were seeing, and that got a lot more of a sincere and genuine reaction than a forced reaction.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that your promotion is at the point where, like you said, you can pass it back now. You know, you brought in names to elevate Smash, yeah, and now Smash, right, is at the point where it can, you know, we'll see a name that we don't know in the card, and we'll assume, you know, like, we maybe not know this guy, not know this guy, but if he's been signed by Smash.
Now we look forward to saying, hey, let's see what this guy can do, kind of thing.
Absolutely. You've seen that with the way Tarek has developed at Smash. You've seen it with the way Courtney Rush is developing at Smash. The way in its infancy, Kevin Bennett is developing Smash or
the remix. Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Facade's a wonderful performer,
and yeah, and I'm just a big fan of the well-oiled machines and the potential that has. And you know, whether it's someone with a bit more of a name brand or someone who is newer, I think people are showing some faith in the direction that Smash Wrestling is going with some particular athletes and talent, and that's exciting. It's very humbling to see. And I think, not to be selfish or arrogant, but that's a reflection of knowing that that's how you can truly define if you've done good by the fans. If people put faith in you and they see these announcements and they're excited to see where it goes, that means they're not quick to criticize. That means that you've put faith in them.
I think the other way, there's also the other aspect of it too, right? Like, you have these new people that are coming in. And like you said, you know, we all get amazed by it. But that's also, there's room for them because there's been so many good people that have been moving on, like Kevin Steen would be one of the examples from it. And obviously now, what almost seems like the entire fourth gun in terms of doing it. But that's also another, like, validation of
absolutely
the kind of entertainment that you're getting.
We had that discussion, too. I mean, You have a standoff with five Smash Wrestling guys versus five Fourth Gun guys, and we're like, man, well, we've been pacing this. You know, we didn't rush anything. It's about the roof's about to fall. And then a couple of days later, you hear like all over the wrestling forums, pretty much four-fifths of Fourth Gun is signed. But you know, it's a good problem to have if that's the case. You know, even if it's just rumors, even if it's just a tryout, or if it's discussions or whatever it may or may have not been. Having your guys signed or be in discussion, or this also sucks, but even if you look at a smaller scale where it's not a full-time contract like WWE, if you have some of your guys go to AAA or PWG or Evolve or Ring of Honor and you don't have the opportunity to use it, or they go to the UK and they're not there for a Smash Wrestling show, it's a little unfortunate from our end, but it also speaks volumes of where our current roster or the guys that we associate ourselves and or girls that we associate ourselves with, where they are moving on to. That's why I don't think we shy away from doing business with people that have busy schedules or have potential contracts along the way. We want to associate a premier brand with premier athletes. And there's high risk, high reward there, but we figure, what's the worst thing you can tell your fans? Listen, this is what we had planned, but this guy got signed. That's not a bad thing to say.
Definitely not.
Moving on to a more personal note, a nice personal note. Pop, now you wanted to give him, you know, Sebastian's a new father, relatively new father.
Why? Why? Just kidding.
What a horrible reaction. Do you have, Pop, do you have some advice to give to young Sebastian here?
Run. Run.
No. So what were you telling me before?
Well, there's a couple of things, obviously. Please. I have two boys, by the way. They're 11 and 13. Yeah. They were out in London, had a great time there at the last show. My oldest actually really likes John Green now, just to let you know.
Yeah, everyone's got to love John
Green.
Great
role model.
And the younger one's more of a facade kind of guy. We got t-shirts and everything. Two things probably to tell you as a dad. One, when they're very young, and one as they get older into their teen years that I can pass on to you. Yeah. The very first one is, when you hold your child, they're going to cry.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, being a wrestler, I think this part is going to be easy for you. You just need to keep the straight face. Okay. And no matter how bad it smells, hand them over to your wife and say, I think he's hungry.
Ah.
Because obviously, you know, that worked like mega. And then, you know, like 2 minutes later, she turns and goes, oh, no, he just needed changing. Oh, really? I didn't know. That's how you get out of doing diapers.
Sly, you sly old dog.
And the second thing, no matter how cool you think you are, and being a wrestler, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we don't have that problem.
When they hit 12 or 13, anything you suggest to them means nothing.
Yep.
And I'm just hitting that realm right now. So just two pieces of advice. Prepare yourself for the second one, and hopefully that first one will get you a little out of the
dark. I've already established with mom that... I'll be the kind of father that embarrasses their child. So whether they think I'm cool or not, I'm going to walk in there and say the most uncool things ever, and make sure that all of his friends are around him, and make sure that specifically if there's some girls around, that they are as embarrassed by cuddly dudly dad who's going to give you the smooches like he does at home. And he's like, "Dad, my friends are here. Sorry, do you guys want some smooches too?" You know, just make sure he's as embarrassed as possible. And then when he gets home, he's like, "What was that about?" I'm like, "Don't you ever think your dad's uncool again, because I can be really uncool." I'll set the uncool bar at a whole high.
He's ready.
Yeah. See, I missed that. I needed that kind of, like, you know, talk when I was growing up.
We're going to go into some quick questions here. They don't have to have quick answers. Just
we have Ric Flair in the hallways, ladies and gentlemen. Someone, yeah. I heard a big woo.
How did they know? Well, I mean, sorry. As heel turns is so big, you know?
Yeah. I think they saw Sebastian, and then that drew a woo. So we got some quick questions here. But, you know, answer them as long as you want. It's up to you. They might be very involved answers. First one, you guys travel a lot, so I'm sure you have a lot of experience with this. Who has the worst taste in food or restaurants or eatery? Who would you say?
That's a tough call. For 1 month, it was Tarek on the basis that he decided to go on a vegan diet for 30-day challenge, and therefore he was allowed to eat nothing other than select food. So when we went to Denny's, he would just look at the side plate menu and he'd get, "Can I get a side dish of the wild rice, a side dish of the asparagus? Can I get a couple packs of peanut butter?" That's what he had to resort to, because he can eat nothing on the menu. You know, we'd go to I'd quickly go into the Dollarama to get some wrist tape, and he'd grab a pack of bubble gum, and he'd be like, look at the cashier and be like, "Is this vegan?" So for that 30 days, traveling with him, we were slightly limited to all the places that we enjoyed eating, or we'd just be plain ignorant and just eat in front of him and make him miserable, which... It was likely the latter more often.
I was about to say, your crowd probably so.
I don't know. I hang out with Tarek and John Greed a lot. We road trip a lot together. So if you follow either of them, you can see that John Greed is a bit of a husky fella who would draw the attention of Scott Steiner promos. And you also have Tarek, who apparently works out 3 hours a day, which he actually does. It's ridiculous. He just doesn't go home. And he can eat pretty much anything he wants, and he has that kind of metabolism where he will have fat-ass Fridays and have all the jerk chicken and rice he wants. So the limitations of food options with these two gentlemen is quite flexible.
It sounds like he didn't go beyond the 30 days after the...
He did it. Yeah, it was very tough for him, but the second the 30 days was done, he was excited.
And he was just back. That was the end of the vegan experiment.
He just wants to do a different 30-day challenge. He first did the cold shower 30 days. Then he did the vegan challenge for 30 days. He just finds different challenges for whatever the reason is. But it does make his social media account fun to follow.
Who would you say is the best practical joker on the roster?
I'll lean towards who are the funnier people. Sure. It's hard to say practical joker right away, and it's a fortune. I love going to Ottawa because for C4, because usually I'm in the carpool with... Tarek is extremely funny. John Greed is extremely funny. The three of us are a good trio. I'm not going to say I'm not funny. I'm slightly funny, but when you're with two incredibly funny people, you just look like a really lame person. So they're extremely funny. Scotty O'Shea is incredibly underrated as a funny person, so he can be a practical joker too, I think. I'd put those three amongst the top for sure.
And I guess it's probably the same group. Who would you say, well, I guess some of you guys are married now, but maybe all of you, but who's the best with the ladies and who's the worst? From what you've seen.
Or I guess could it be like, could a lady be good with a guy?
Or vice versa, yeah. Which of the ladies is a man eater?
Try not to be sexist here.
No, well, no,
sure, go either way.
We're all pretty sure without trying... Guys like Pepper Parks and Tyson Dukes will attract the female attention without even saying anything. You know, they could be minding their own business with their wives and fiancés. You know, maybe they're just picking something off the ground or just stretching. And, you know, someone will come and like, "Hey, you're one of those wrestlers, right?" And we're like, yeah. He's like, "Is that Pepper Parks?" "Oh, yeah." is that Tyson Dukes? I would probably say that John Greed is an incredibly funny guy that I think you'd be surprised that, you know, a bachelor, a single man John Greed can win over any lady with the laughter.
And those dance moves. Every time he takes that shirt off.
See, that man has more soul than you can imagine. That guy has dance moves. He has the charisma. You know, one can say it's so bad, but he's so confident that it turns out to be amazing.
And Summersby is sexy too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Seems to be. Pop, any other questions you want to throw in there?
No, I thought we did really cool.
Because I think we need to get to, he's been, so, you know, Sebastian has been so generous with his time. I think we need to get to the plugs. We mentioned Infinity.
Yep.
I think the next show is the 27th, the next taping or show is the 27th?
December 27th will be the next Infinity show in Oshawa. And January 16th is an event I'm really looking forward to, which will be Smash Wrestling versus CZW, which has been in the works for a bit. And the timing, I guess, was meant to be because, for better or worse, Sami Callihan was released from NXT, and he's doing well. He's wrestling all the premier places and having high-profile matches and delivering. We were one of the first people to have a chance to announce him, and we have him representing a place that he's known as a home for a long time with CZW, going up against Johnny Gargano in the main event. So the timing of that worked out nicely for such an event. And I believe by the time we wrap this up and go home, there will be other matches announced.
I saw the Twitter today. Yeah, so there's going to be announcements probably happening tonight during Raw, apparently. Yeah. So that's very exciting. And you're right, by the time this show goes up, we'll know what those are. I was going to say, you know, that Sami Callihan kind of relates to all the discussion we've had about, you know, how fungible talent is these days. And it was unfortunate to see Sami get lost in the shuffle on NXT. Obviously, we all know he's a great talent, but they just happen to be acquiring so much and, you know, undergoing so much change and stuff. And I'm in some ways happy for him that he made the decision to go back and go, you know, go back to, I don't want to say his roots, but go back to the independent scene and, you know, get that experience again. And then, you know, the door is never closed, I don't think, to go back. If that's even what he wants to do. But very fortunate for you again in Smash Wrestling and a lot of independent fans out there that he is available. And like you said, working with Johnny Gargano, January 16th.
Yeah.
Franklin Horner Community Center.
Absolutely.
In Toronto.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. How are the tickets? Tickets still available? What's going on? I heard they were pretty fast.
VIP are sold out for the first 2 rows. The third row, you know, there's something, again, it goes back to saying earlier on that we're lucky to have a Smash faithful audience that believes in us. We've done this with past events, and we didn't announce even the name of a show. We just announced Smash Wrestling January 16th. And within minutes, row one was sold out.
Sold out, yep.
And row two, all those that were verbally, you know, a lot of row two sold out, and the rest of it gradually came over the course of a week from people who were verbally saying they're coming. I guess, you know, for everyone, they got to get the money and whatnot. But there's almost 100 people there that, you know, put their faith in us right away. And, you know, and then eventually we just announced Sami Callihan. That was it. And you have 2 rows sold out. And now with the announcement of CZW Smash Wrestling, a lot of GAs have also sold. I'd say there's at least 130, 140 tickets sold so far. And hopefully the VIPs sell out by the end of this week, or hopefully after a few announcements tonight. But that's where we get lucky with Smash Wrestling. It's taken work. It's taken making risks and building that trust with your audience. But you'll generally get those 150 or 200 people there no matter what. And the rest just comes with, you know, promoting and the right selling points and seeing what the audience is willing to see.
Where else can we see Sebastian Schwab outside of Smash Wrestling?
Right now you can catch me. I've been fortunate to be with some of the premier companies in Ontario, clearly in Toronto with Smash Wrestling. If you're going towards Ottawa with C4, if you're going towards Windsor, you can see me with Border City Wrestling. And there, you know, you may catch me you'll see me at Infinity here and there in Oshawa. And, you know, if you're even outside the Toronto area, Smash is making its way to North Bay. It's making its way to London. And we'll give you guys the exclusive where we'll be going back to Brock University in St. Catharines in the early stages of 2016. And there are other towns. So, you know, fortunate situation to, you know, I work for some other companies that have great reputations like C4 and Border City. I'm looking to hopefully work again with, I'm good friends with the people at ESW in Buffalo. That's a place that, you know, hopefully I'll be going back sooner than later. And, there's a few good places you can catch me.
Busy, hard yeah. working, one of the hardest working wrestlers in Canada. I think I'm gonna just throw it out there.
Just throw it out there.
I'm just doing it. I'm just throwing it out there.
It's because I have a good formula. I make Greed do all the hard work, and I bask in the glory. he'll dance. He'll shake it for the ladies. He'll chug that Summersby. He'll hit that 5-ton Proc Splash, and then I throw my hands in the air.
There you go. Hey, that was another exclusive.
Tag in, right?
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
We're a team. It's 50-50 in my eyes.
Pop, any parting thoughts right now?
No, just a big, big thank you for taking your time out, especially on a rainy night, to come down and talk with us. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we were happy to finally get Sebastian in here. Such an intelligent, classy man.
Who would have thunk a wrestler being intelligent, eh?
Nah.
He's really good. Is he looking at me wrong?
I was going to say,
he's going to beat me up, isn't he?
You know, and who would have, you know, and people normally assume that podcast, you know, people are smart, and you know, that's wrong. So yeah. Clearly that's wrong. So
dead wrong.
But thank you very much, Sebastian. And thank you anyone who's tuning in and listening. Please check out Smash Wrestling and any other independent shows in your area. Always support independent wrestling. And that's it for today, I think.
One last thing before you sign off.
You sign off.
No, I'm not going to sign off, but I just realized that our dear co-host over here, Alex, has been boycotting Monday Night Raw because he has been finding it very entertaining. And there's been people that feel that same way. I think this is the first episode where we didn't discuss WWE in any way.
Until you just did.
Yeah. I figured I'd end it on that note anyways because I'm a jerk.
If we did, we'd be going at least another hour. Not to crap on, but like for better or worse, when something's a hot topic, you can't just discuss it for a minute.
Of course. We would just go on.
Like if I were to tell Alex, why are you boycotting? It's not a 10-second
answer.
Well,
let me tell you something, Sebastian. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, you know what? We will.
There's that mystery. It just sucks. That's all.
Again, hopefully we'll have Sebastian another time and talk about a number of other topics. But it was great to have him in here for the first time. Our first wrestler, a historical guest, and thank you very much. Signing off, everyone. Take care. While I'm sitting on top of the world, I'm sitting on top of the world, I'm sitting